Item 11, persons to be heard. There, I believe we have a couple persons to be heard. First one is Harley Johnson. Review, come forward, state your name and address for the record, please.
Harley Johnson, 117 Third Street. Mr. Mayor, Assembly and Borough, thank you for this opportunity tonight to come to you and speak regarding Agenda Item 13B. I was hoping to speak on that item when it came up. So if you could pull Item 13B out of your packet and maybe take some notes along with me. I wanna thank Jeff for taking the time. I know he spent a lot of time on this proposed policy. And there's a lot of thought in here, and there's a lot of good things in this proposal. And it's been a long time coming. I've been after something like this for many years, and it always seemed to have gotten pushed on Casiar Street or something, you know. So if you wouldn't mind going through the front introduction page with Jeff, and I'd like to make some comments, and if you don't mind taking notes, like, again, I think this is a good proposal, and I think there may be a couple considerations that may be needed. And like in his introduction, he says, not everything is perfect, and sometimes more input is good, and sometimes it's not. So on the cover sheet, Jeff makes note that quotes for projects or materials or projects for $5,000 or less would take too much time for detailed bid sheets. I think if you have a department head that's putting out projects and have a boilerplate, a scope for an RFP that could be used, and it could be with the technology we have today of changing things on computers, it's easy. You can add a drawing or drawings to that proposal, and it should be fairly easy to put out for quotes or bids, whatever you want to call them, estimates. So I think that can be resolved easily enough. And as you get into Agenda Item 13B, again, a lot of good things in here, a lot of necessary things. The first page and the first paragraph into qualify a contractor. When you get down to the contractor will submit rates for various services that provide or that they provide, I'm guessing that Jeff is talking about rental rates and operator rates and rent for equipment operated. That would be fine, but sometimes you're going to have different rates for different types of work, whether it's light duty work or heavy duty work. So if you're cutting brush and hauling brush, you're not using as much fuel as you are hauling D1. That's a lot heavier and using more fuel. So, you know, we would be able to give you better quotes on hauling brush or light, you know, demo work or whatever it may be. So that one you might have a little flexibility in that one. And I see where you leave room for changes at the bottom where the contractor is welcome to update information anytime. So I'm assuming that if you had an RFP out for a certain type of work and we thought our rates could be adjusted, we could do it at that time. So that would be appreciated. On the second page, I guess it's the second page, on the under special circumstances where a department head does not have to use the next person on the list, in case there's an emergency, et cetera. That's understandable. If Front Street's flooding and they can't find Todd White, and Brett Woodbury's next in line or something, they'll call him and he's available. I understand that. But the person that's making the call, you know, should be aware that if the next person in line is available, they should go to them and give them that opportunity. And also, if they're making decisions on whether a contractor is worthy of doing that work with the experience or training necessary, I'm just wondering who's going to be making the call to see if one contractor is more experienced or educated or in that type of work. So maybe this could read the department head would maybe be sent for approval to their supervisor. So say if it was Carl's department, then it would be, you know, of course, coming to Jeff for an approval for his decision that he made at that time. So just something simple in the process. Some of these issues in the proposal could probably be narrowed down if you think there's too much wordage in it, so it's not too convoluted. And then in the same sense with the special circumstances and the department heads making the calls for who's worthy or not, I would like to know what would happen if a department head didn't follow the adopted guidelines and made a call that was not fair to one of the contractors on the list and overlooked them or didn't care for them, or, you know, and so they kind of played their position game where they omitted them from a job. So I would like
to interrupt you for a moment.
Yes.
On that subject, where's this list going to be kept? Where can department heads find it?
I will have it.
So this is on the emergency situation. How are they going to know who's next on the list in case of emergency?
My plan is on Friday, before I go home, is I can send out the list to the department heads so that they can have the most current, up-to-date list. Kind of like it says in here, there's going to be some tweaking.
Right.
Getting to get to a good place. And this is all brand new. So, yeah, we really appreciate your comments.
And I think that would be simple enough, again, to the technology we have, is to keep a list. And I don't think there's a tremendous amount of contractors that they can't keep track of, you know, in the different trades, whether it's a general or specialty or mechanical, electrical, you know, those trades. There's a handful, and there's a few, but we're not looking at, you know, a ton of people like if you're in Juneau, so that would be appreciated. And I think that's a good way. Also, I would like to make a comment on when it comes to the point of the contractors that are offered the opportunity to give quotes on work. I think that the quotes that if quotes are required, that the quotes should be open at a set time in the presence of the contractors that have taken the time to give the city their quotes, submitting their quotes. In the past, I know there's been times where we haven't been notified who was low bid, we weren't notified what the difference in the bids were, and it's, you know, we take the time to put these together, and it would be beneficial from us and maybe to you in the future that we had those numbers to see where we stand or where we didn't stand, and you know, where we could be maybe a little more competitive. So I think that would leave any question out if we were to come down here at an opening, whoever was wanting to do that, and open it, in a process and find out the prices and who's quoted, and may the best contractor win the low bid. So I'd like to see that. Also, I'd like to see, I've seen kind of behind the line, back room, say, I'd like to see projects not put into phases. So if there's a threshold of $5,000 or $10,000 or $10,000 to $25,000, I think this one would hit the mostly into the $5,000 to $10,000 range, if I'm not mistaken. If you have somebody that would maybe put a project in phases, so I wouldn't want to see the city going out and say, okay, I'll buy the materials, you give me a labor bid, and this is an $18,000 to $20,000 project, which should have been put up to, you know, the next phase of bid, the bid process. So phasing should be not allowed. So it should be a total dollar amount with materials and labor, equipment for that project to stand on itself, rather than say the city or a department head saying, I'll just go out and get a quote for the piling, and then you guys come in and do the work. Now, I use the word piling, and I know that's a different level of bidding, and what you're doing is okay, but when it comes to a small job, if you take those bits and pieces and they're over the amount, I think that's wrong. So I would like to see.
Go ahead.
Now, there are some reasons we do want to phase, because we don't know how we have this much, and until we do this part, we don't know if we can do more work.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess my idea there is, if it is phased, each phase should go out to quotes, or the next person on the list would be the next in line to do the next part.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's how I look at it. Not
well,
the same.
If it's kept the same if it's kept the same for everybody, and
yeah,
it's
no,
kept
I,
yeah and kept fair, where because you could have a department head going down and buying, you know, $8,000 worth of materials, and then you have a labor bid from a contractor that's $9,000, so therefore it exceeds the limit for that type of project, because, and there's a way around it because they went out and bought the materials. It should be a standalone total dollar project. If you did it in phases and it was in the ranges, and then it went to the next bidder, that would be fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
I guess that's
so,
what we thought.
So if we're accomplishing the same thing.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. It's just a way of, you know, the asking for us to sit down and be able to see the results is just a transparency that nobody can argue. And also, I'd like to make comment at this time regarding all businesses for the community, that they're all treated equal, and not just the contractors. So if it's out, if the city's doing business with other businesses in other professions, I would like to see that the city be fair in all their purchases from one vendor to the next, and give them opportunities. I know at times in the past there's been some lopsidedness, and I know that all vendors don't have all the materials, equipment, and things that the city purchases, so you have to go to certain vendors, certain stores, and that's okay. But when you go to a certain store, say for hardware groups and other things that others don't, then maybe you should consider the next purchase or two from somebody that has something that you need, you know, to make it fair for all of us that are working hard in the community. You know, all these small businesses in town, they work really hard, employee-wise and in ownership, and to, you know, bring what they can to you, the city. And we appreciate what you guys, meaning the city, what you guys do for us, because I know that Jeff, through all the years, he's put a lot of work into a lot of the things that we have and things that I've benefited from. So I do appreciate that, and we're thankful for it. So I just, you know, think that some of these things are important to us and maybe to other contractors. So if you get to item agenda 13B, and you have other questions, I'll be here. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. Did anybody have any questions for her?
Not yet.
Yeah.
Oh. Next one is John Taylor on the same item.
Do you want me to speak? While you've got your stuff out on the same item, while you have that packet out at this item, or I can wait until you bring it up?
No, you normally speak under persons to be heard.
Okay. Yeah, speak during the agenda item.
Not unless one of the assembly members has a question for you.
John Taylor, 318
Kennan. First off, thank you for being here. Thank you for your service to our community. I appreciate it. This was presented to me today. I was kind of like a shock that it was coming out, something for the local contractors, and local contractors weren't notified about it. That being said, I think it's a good idea. I had a couple questions. Will this be a local contractor list only?
Yeah, our whole purpose of this, as an example, if we have to get three quotes, we're not getting quotes from someone from Petersburg or Ketchikan. This is for our local contractors.
Provided a local contractor can provide that service.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Now, if it gets anything to where there's a bid situation, you know, over the 25, sure, anybody can bid at that point. But anything that we solicit that where people, we can get that work done in town or buy it in town or whatever we're doing, that's what this is about.
Okay. Under insurance, I see you want liability, which is proper. Do you know at this time if you will want the city or the contractor to add the city and borough as an additional insured?
Probably will. Mm-hmm. We, one thing we don't have here yet is, and we're, our attorney will draw that up, when someone turns in their, should I be, or should I wait to talk
go
about
ahead.
This? Okay, I'm
go
sorry.
Ahead.
I'm sorry. They will draw up kind of a general contract, and things like that will be addressed in there.
Okay.
And so everyone, you don't have to, once you file your paperwork, sign the agreement, then each time you do something, it applies to that general terms.
Okay. Is there a provision in the list to have a, understand the list will go down, you're offered a job, if you don't want it, it goes to the next person. If I take a $3,000 job, or if a $300 job is offered and the next job is a $3,000 job, is there a monetary adjustment? So at the end of the year, all the contractors have been offered about the same amount of dollar-wise.
I just don't think, I think the only way, I think just over time where we believe this will average out. You know, one time you might get the $300 job, and the next time you might get the $3,000 job. I mean,
sure,
we're not going to, it's whoever's the next one, but the flip side of that is if it's the $300 job and you keep denying that because you're waiting for the big payday, I don't think that's fair to the city.
Sure.
So sometimes you got to take the good with the bad, I guess, and but we're not going to, you know, say certainly this is the 300, that's the one we want to give to John.
Sure. That could be an issue though, because you could have a department head that may not want to work with a certain contractor or contractors, and they may put a priority list and it may be bumped knowing what that list is, because they know what that list is. And so
they won't have the list. The city clerk will have the list.
Okay, so.
She will tell them who the person, next person.
Dollar volume is concerning, and I second that with him in a sense, because I know of, you know, contractors that have $6,000 or $7,000 worth of work out there, and to date, you know, some of our invoicing is less than $5,000. So there is a concern there, you know, that we are treated.
But I,
somewhat.
That's,
it's not going to be.
That's part of why we're doing this.
Right,
stuff.
And we know it's not going to be.
Exactly,
but $1.99 for
you might be high 1 year and low the next year, just depending on how. But we think that over a period of time, you know, when you start looking over years, that it will, you know, kind of average out. Sometimes you're the next one on the list that's the $4,000 job, and so. But I think to try to match, so everybody makes exactly, it would take all of her time. And
well, no,
if we can't do this with the existing staff and without putting a huge burden on her, then we can't afford to, we got to do something different to make this as streamlined as possible.
And it can be done simply, you know. Other communities do it, and they have it in place to make it fair for everybody. And there's a need for it. And if it takes a little bit more, just like our businesses, if it takes a little more to do, you know, process, and sometimes we hire people or we just work harder. So.
And our problem is right now with the state's woes with thing, we're not going to be hiring anybody. I mean, that's
right.
Just, it isn't going to happen.
We're not asking you to hire somebody to just take care of us.
Right. And that's what I'm saying is the goal here was to, kind of what I say in my thing there, one of the goals is to have an efficient system that we can do with existing staff without burdening them. I'm sorry.
Actually, John has the floor here.
Yeah.
So let's let him.
I'll just be quiet.
Thank you.
At any rate, I think it's a good idea. I will urge you to check licenses, check dentals. I know there are several in town working without them, and I would hope that the city wouldn't hire a non-licensed, bonded, insured, qualified folks. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? Thank you, Joe. Does this bring up any questions, sir? Well, when we get to it. Item 12, unfinished business. There's none. Under new business, item 13A, discussion and possible action regarding the letter that was received from Robert Larson, Thomas Bay Power Commission President.
I guess I'll start the discussion.
Yes. I was just going to explain the letter a little bit for the listening public. This is a letter that we received from Robert Larson, who is the president of the Thomas Bay Power Authority, regarding what has occurred since the transfer of maintenance and operations at the Tai Lake Hydro facility. Is now in the hands of Southeast Alaska Power Authority. And that was a primary purpose for Thomas Bay Power Authority was that mine. And he's kind of asking what we want to do to move forward with Thomas Bay, just to put it simply. Okay, go ahead.
If you look back in the minutes of their meeting when the commission talked about this, they mentioned three things that they wanted in the letter. One was what is expected from the commission. Two is where would the funding come from? And then three was basically a point that the commission does bind the two communities together. I think we should have a real frank discussion about this, and It sounds like Petersburg is also having the discussion, thinking about what kind of changes they want to make to their ordinances, but it doesn't sound like they're solid yet. My personal opinion from reading this and then looking at, you know, some of the draft ordinances that they're looking at and thinking of the changes that we've gone through with Thomas Bay and SEPA, their primary mission is no longer there. Unless we appropriate money for them, there's no money or staff. And the other primary focus that they had was to basically look at new power development that would be for the two communities. And, you know, SEPA and Southeast Conference's Energy Committee are both looking at those things actively. So I don't see anything at this time in front of us that's, you know, burning for the commission. So I kind of vote, you know, or in thinking at this point of not doing away with the commission, but keep the potential to have the commission reactivate, you know, at some point in the future if there was something that comes up that we don't foresee today.
Yes.
I agree with you, Julie. My question would be, if we have something like that, wouldn't they have to meet at least annually to have the people on it be the people on it? They haven't moved away. They haven't lost their desire to serve. Or, you know, I mean, I don't know how you put something to sleep without expending some kind of funds somewhere. And is it that hard to start it up again? And, you know, we know that Southeast Conference and SEPA are kind of looking at everything they would do, so it is a duplicate effort. And I wonder if we even need to keep them at all.
I believe we have to keep them because of the way the original organization was done, unless we put it to a vote of the people.
It's required under our charter.
That's the authority, not
that's
the commission.
That's the authority. I think the commission isn't. I don't think the commission was appointed. I think the authority was the one that was. I think you're right. I think it's the authority that has to be put to the vote. The commission does not.
Correct. Yeah, the commission, we can, both Petersburg and us can change that. But
Assembly Member Pasanka has a question.
Go ahead, Steve.
Thank you. I'm just curious, given the sort of limited authority and no funds to operate, basically, we're not, you know, limited or severely limited funds, who's going to want to sit on this board? I know you're sort of sitting in wait for something to do. I'm just curious how we would find people who want to do that. We can't, we have a hard time finding people who want to sit on boards that are active.
That's a good point.
Just one small point. The current insurance for the directors of Thomas Bay expires the end of December. They were on a calendar year, so that insurance, because they're not part of the city, isn't, our boards are covered under the city's insurance, but they wouldn't be. So if they were to continue on, that is something that there wouldn't be a cost in that.
What if they're inactive?
I can ask, but I'm not sure.
Well, if the commission were to stay in the ordinances, but on an ad hoc basis, kind of like how, you know, the mayor can appoint an ad hoc committee with a specific goal in mind, and the mayor appoints those people, and then, you know, they perform their duties, and then you decide if that ad hoc committee needs to continue after that. Is there any reason we couldn't approach the commission that way?
Well, an ad hoc committee is generally for a specific purpose. Mm-hmm. And since there would not really be a specific purpose, such as looking into Tyee Lake, which was what Thomas Bay Power Authority was actually they were formed before that to look at a lot of different projects, and Thomas Tyee Lake was decided. That's a specific purpose. Now, if it's just a blanket, we'll look at anything, that'd be more like a standing committee.
That's not what I meant, though. I meant the ability to have a commission is still in the ordinances, but it's not active and there's no people on it. Then if something, a specific thing comes up that we want a group like that to look into, then the mayor would appoint people to the commission, sort of reinvigorate it, appoint people to the commission for a specific reason. It's an ad hoc group. They've formed, we have a job for them. They can perform the job.
You're the parliamentarian.
No. We can do that. I know Petersburg, like you said, you saw the what they're looking at possibly putting together, what they're wanting to wait until our meeting to see what we want to do before they move forward. Since our codes are mirrored, they want to try and keep it mirrored. They're looking at having it be an advisory committee. I can check with or talk to the clerk and have her put it on there. I'm sure it's on their agenda under unfinished business to see how they would feel about making it as needed. Because if it were to be an advisory committee, then I was reading the proposed ordinance, and they would need to meet at least once a year.
And then you get into the situation like Jeff was talking about, the insurance. If they are the other committees, such as planning and zoning, are under the blanket of the borough's insurance, Thomas Bay is not. How would that affect that? That'd be an issue there. Yes.
Good discussion, but I have to go toward real close to Becky. To even keep the people possibility, like I said, we can't even get a committee together to run the ones we really, really need. And just to think that, we're just going to be able to pop somebody out of the air for just some kind of a immediate circumstances, I don't think it's going to happen. It won't happen. We just don't have the people to do it. We don't have the volunteers to do it. If for some reason we need this, I would think that SEPA and the Southeast Power Authority, or the Southeast Conference, would be our better choice. Those people are there. They're intact. They're the ones that are going to be doing this to begin with.
Assembly Member
Prasanka
had a question.
Yes, Steve? You there, Steve?
Are you there?
Yeah, sorry, I am there. I am here. I didn't actually have a question. I think it just came through a second time. I apologize.
Okay, thank you.
Janet?
With money being as tight as what it is, and the fact that this committee really doesn't have a purpose at this time, I don't see any reason to put any more money into it. I would rather see it unstaffed and just put it to sleep. We have to leave it in the ordinances because it would take a vote of the people to take it out. And at least with it there lying dormant, if the situation ever does come up, say when our SEPA contract expires and we start looking at a new power sales agreement or something, at that time then we could bring it back to life. Get with Petersburg, bring the committee, appoint new people to it, and go from there if we need to do that.
Just we can change the ordinance, and in fact we will have to, because it's required that they meet at a certain time.
Okay.
But that will have to be done. It doesn't have to go to the vote of the people. Mm-hmm. Only the charter.
So the charter, which has to go to the vote of the people, addresses the creation of the Thomas Bay Power Authority.
Yeah.
The ordinances speak to the creation of the commission, right? So, and in fact, those ordinances say right now today, the commission shall meet monthly, and they say other things, shall create a budget, and shall do this, yes, and shall do that, and they're not doing any of those things, so.
So those ordinances will have to be changed, there's no doubt about it. But I agree, I pretty much agree with everybody else. There's not much purpose in them having it at all. You know, it may come up in the future, and I don't think we want to take them completely out of the ordinance, leave it in the ordinance as a board that it, as needed or whatever.
Ad hoc.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what I'm looking for, if I'm understanding, is direction from the assembly to contact the borough clerk in Petersburg so that, you know, to let her know what kind of the consensus is, and then to see if, you know, is that good? Okay.
That's it.
Yeah.
No.
Yep.
No.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I would say contact her and talk about, you know, the potential to change the ordinances to speak to it as an ad hoc commission.
And I will say, acting as their clerk, I think they would agree. So.
Anything further on that? No, I don't. I'm going to call the recess at 8:29 for 5 minutes. Reconvene this meeting at 8:33. Moving on to new business, item 13B, approval of the city policy to hire contractors for city projects.
Can I say something before you make a motion or not?
Well, it's kind of
okay.
It depends on what you're going to say.
Well, there were a couple good ideas that I wouldn't mind incorporating into this document.
Okay, that should be waited until after.
Okay.
Move to approve the contractor's policy for doing work for the city and borough of Wrangell.
Second.
Now moved and seconded. Now you can go ahead.
Okay. First of all, I welcome any and everybody, including Harley and John and anybody here, to give input in this. I can tell you that we put a lot of time into it, and then the kind of the summer rush hit, and we kind of put it on the back burner again, and then we've met again at least once or twice. And I can tell you that not even all the department heads agreed with everything in there. Some said, yeah, I agree with this, and others say, I don't agree with this, and there's even arguments among ourselves, but we did want to try to do something that one of the concerns is in the past the city has been guilty maybe of hiring someone. We assume they had all their stuff, licensing and bonding and insurance and all that, and they didn't. And so that was one of the goals, is to make sure that whoever we do hire has already submitted copies of their, you know, their licenses, their bonding, what it would show, what kind of things they can do and what they can't do, you know, all the insurance and all those kind of things. So I think that was one thing that we wanted to achieve as a goal in this. I think the other thing was to rotate the work through everybody that submitted that they wanted to be part of the city process, that it would some system that would do that. And I realized that it's no matter what we do, you know, it's not going to be a perfect system, because it's just the nature of the beast, I think. But we certainly wanted to make sure that everybody got an opportunity to rotate through a system, but also put in some things there that were important to the city. As an example, if someone had a project and, you know, it still hadn't been finished and it was 6 months late, you know, to keep giving work to someone that, you know, that kind of thing. So we wanted to make sure there were some safeguards that protected the city too, and put some incentive in that. And I guess lastly, we talked about this briefly, that that at this time, Kim is has kind of volunteered to do that. And I can tell you from, and Becky can tell you the same thing, with the price of oil right now, it is going to be one bleak year in Juneau. Mm-hmm. We get about $600,000 a year in state revenue sharing. And, of course, all the capital things we get. I just don't see how you're going to get anything. I mean, it's going to be very bleak. And so there, we've got to be able to, we might not even, instead of talking about adding personnel, we might be talking about subtracting personnel to, I doubt we would do that in the first year of this, because we will do some things that will, you know, kind of ride out the storm here. But if it continues for very long, that could be the case, as we're going to have to go the other direction. And so we wanted to make sure whatever we did here was something that could be without a lot of extra paperwork, with a lot of time. And it doesn't sound like much when you talk about, well, this one thing or something, but then all the things we do in the course of a year with contractors and stuff, it does add up to a lot more time than a person would think. So we want to make sure that whatever we do, it can be done within the existing staff without putting a huge burden on Kim or someone else. And lastly, I think there was some good ideas that I wouldn't mind postponing this one more meeting, making some of the changes that I've heard. I think some of these are there's some built-in safeguards. The special circumstances, Harley talked about, if the department head makes that decision, that's a specialty. Right now, anything over in local $500 locally has to have a local purchase order approved by the manager. So those kind of things are already in the system, where they can't go out and do that anyway. It has to be approved. So some of those things I think are in there, but certainly I think the idea about notification of the bids, making sure that everybody that participated in that either gets a copy of the bid, or so they're transparency in the process of what everybody bid, and everybody has the same information. I think that's an excellent idea. The phasing thing, we can make that clearer there, that if we do something like that, and we have phase projects in, but certainly I understand the concern, and we can do something there. And my feeling is, if it comes up on the list and the next person is doing phase one, and you go through the process, and if it's a different person or the same person, because you've been going through the list, when phase two comes up, it's part of that revolving process. It may be the same person by just pure luck. It may be because someone else was on the list and they would get it. So, but I do think that it shouldn't be just given to the same person, because they did phase one, they would get phase two. I completely agree with that, and I think we can do some clarification for that. So if you want to wait one more time, I won't be at the next meeting, but I can make the changes, and I won't be here to answer any questions. But
when I spoke to you about it, I still think there's a discrepancy here. The monetary thresholds for hiring contractors, you got number one, any amount under $10,000 does not have to be bid or quote. Okay, then you said, and then policy to be adopted, number two, mm-hmm. Department heads will be required to solicit quotes from everyone on the list for items between $5,000 and $10,000, so that is under the $10,000.
I think the monetary thresholds for hiring contractors, at one time, and I don't know, per our ordinance, is that first section. And this is, I guess, at this point,
they're either going to have to solicit a quote, or they're not going to have to solicit a quote for under the $10,000, because each one of them says two different things.
Right. Well, our ordinance says from 0 to 10,000, if it's budgeted, we don't have to solicit quotes right now. That's okay. How the ordinance reads.
But then in your next one, it says policy to be adopted.
And so I guess what I was saying is here's the ordinance, but we're going to make the ordinance by this policy more restrictive.
Okay.
And adopt a policy kind of within the ordinance that for contractors, we're gonna reduce that threshold. I think Tim just increased the threshold from 5 to 10 just within the last 3 or 4 years. And then increase the when you have to go out to bid to 25, so everything up to 25, the city manager would have the authority to do that. So at this time, I would not want to change the ordinance, but the policy would be, a more restrictive thing under the ordinance that we're going to adopt.
Okay, so this monetary value.
I could explain this, if this is the ordinance language, the policy would be in addition to that. And I think we feel that this is going to be an evolving thing, and we're going to find things that probably maybe don't work, and it's for whatever reason, and we'll modify them. At some point when we think hopefully we have a smooth running machine here, we can actually adopt it into the ordinance and make that change so it's all permanent in the ordinance. But there's just too many unknowns right now of how much work and what problems we're going to have with it, and are we, you know, is it working so it is fair? Is it, you know, all those questions. I think we just got to spend some time, start off with the basic concept here, and then as we learn things that, you know, aren't working very well, we'll change them. And as we get, you know, there might be things that come up from the contractor saying, well, this didn't work very good. Can you look at this or that? And we're more than willing to do that. But I think we needed a starting point, and we could have beat this horse to death for which we already have. And at some point, we just needed to start and implement it, and then try to refine it at that point. That's the goal.
So, just a couple of things since you're going to rework some of this.
Sure.
On the second page at the top, number 5,
okay.
If the job was turned down for a good reason, is there a good reason to have for a good reason in that sentence? I mean, is there somebody going to be sitting there judging the person whether it was for a good reason or not?
That person might be working on another project where they can't do it at that time.
Man, this was one of the ones I was going to bring up, too. The way it's worded, if you allow this to stay in, you open it up to argument.
Right.
I would just leave it, if you turn down a job, you do go to the bottom of the list for whatever reason.
Well, see, this says they don't lose. The person called and declined would not lose their place in line if they had a good reason. But this if you have a good reason thing is...
This was one of our arguments.
Yeah, one of the things is, okay, you got a single operation contractor. You call him up, the cell phone rings, and he says, I'm having my appendix out. I can't do the job. We didn't think they should be penalized for, you know, medical or some other family emergency or, you know, something like that. So, but I understand that. And what we didn't want is what we talked about earlier is that, okay, this is a $200 job. I sprained my ankle.
Yeah.
And hoping that the next job I'm going to stay on the list. And so we need to, you know, that is a good point.
So I think you need to just clarify what a good reason is. And yeah. That can be
you
simple.
Make
clarify.
A
medical.
Short, very short well, list of acceptable.
You know, then you've got a list of reasons. Well, that's not on the list, so
well,
you don't qualify.
I know, but this is completely open. I think that it, okay. And then you use reason and good judgment.
Excuse me, can I say something? Can I?
Harley, do you have something to say? Come up, please.
Okay. Harley Johnson, 117 Third Street. If you make it
The simplest way is to, if somebody turns a job down, whether they have their appendix out or they just don't want that job, you put them to the bottom automatically. That's just my... So if you called me and I was on the list and you said, hey, can you come and put this garage door in at the shop, and I'm in the middle of a project and I can't let the guys go and you want it done in 3 weeks, I would say, hey, just go to the next guy and put me on the bottom of the list. I wouldn't have a heartburn with that.
That would probably be the easiest.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
Argumentative way.
How does that sound to you?
Makes my life easier.
Sure.
No. I think what we have to remember, we're not going to have 20 contractors on the list.
Right. Yeah, it's not going to be that long of a list.
Right.
Okay, so that was just the first thing. In number 7. Department heads will be required to fill out an assessment form if the contractor does one of the following, and then it's basically like things that are negative. I'm just curious, I'm not saying that we should necessarily do this now, but I think we should be thinking about how we could maybe make a regular assessment, good, bad, or otherwise, just be a part of the process, something simple. And I couldn't help but think of Angie's List. And I mean, I'm not saying we use Angie's List, but I mean, the concept, right, is just even when you're on Amazon, that, you know, everybody gets rated and you look at the rates and they kind of tell you something about the person that maybe even the local community could look at and see. And I don't know if that makes any sense. Just food for thought.
Did you cheat and look at my notes?
No, I didn't cheat and look at your notes. Let's see.
You know, that's what Harley was talking about, that boilerplate, just a flat out boilerplate. This was done good, or, you know, just something flat out, real simple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 5 questions.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Jeff.
Sorry.
We thought about that, but again, every extra thing you do, we're hoping that there isn't any negative things about any of them, and there isn't any paperwork created.
Mm-hmm.
But if you fill out one for every time someone does something, it is, and it, again, everybody said, well, it just takes a second to do that, but you start adding, it's amazing how you add one little thing, and it is one more thing that I know in the office here, we've got kind of a, some of the positions are reasonably inexperienced now. We're having trouble getting done just the normal things we're supposed to be getting done, rather than adding anything. About 10 years ago, we had 4 full-time people in here, and we had a kind of a budget crisis, and we kind of volunteered to, you know, have one person leave, and someone was leaving anyway, and so we've been doing a kind of a part-time thing, but there's just a lot of things that just kind of don't always get done. The main things always do. I mean, payroll gets done, the light bills go out, and all that main things, but there's a lot of follow-up things you're supposed to do, and every extra thing you do, and if all these were coming through her office, it's just a lot more things she has to keep track of and somehow do something with it. So we're trying to keep this as unburdened as humanly possible. So,
well, it's just like I said, if in the future, or I mean, I wouldn't want it to be burdensome if there could be a simple way that, as you're going through this process and kind of considering and seeing how it's working, if you think of something, I think that could be beneficial. I agree with what Pam was saying, that somehow you got to change that wording about, like, clarify that those 2 different sections, because right now they just look like there's an error.
I'll fix that.
Okay.
I agree.
And then the last part in the general statement, you say the city reserves the right to make changes to this document when it believes it's in the best interest of the city to do so. I'd kind of like to see maybe, especially at this beginning stage, something like that the policy will be reviewed annually and any changes will come back to the assembly for approval.
And that's what I meant.
Yeah.
It will come back to you.
Yeah.
If you adopt it to start with, any changes you need to do. But I will.
But for like the first, you know, 2 or 3 years, like if you just review it annually just to see, it just makes everyone kind of look to that and know that that's going to happen.
Unless there's a problem with it, a big problem with
sure.
it, and then do it sooner.
I have 2 things. First, on the assessments, if we're going to leave it the way that it is.
Where are you at, Daniel?
Yeah, on the assessments that we were talking about?
Number seven.
Number seven. If we're going to leave it the way that it is and only have a department head write an assessment if there was a problem, then I think if that assessment's done, then either the city manager or somebody that's qualified needs to go look at that work and verify that that problem actually existed. And that's to keep any problems between department heads and contractors from coming up. And the other thing that I had under liability limits, I'm not that familiar with Alaska law, and maybe one of these guys can answer this question. Does the state require, when you get a contractor's license, that you maintain a certain level of liability insurance at all times? What is that level?
It's different for specialty versus general, and different agencies require different levels. Different levels of government require different levels.
Okay.
I think the city of Wrangell has a standard requirement in all their projects that they bid out for the required insurance
coverage.
My concern is that this is just a general statement, proof on liability insurance for the business in which city work will be conducted. Do we need to set a limit, a particular limit that has to be maintained? Because if you only have $5,000 worth of liability insurance, but you're doing a $20,000 job, something along those lines, so do we need to put on there $1 million liability policy or something along those lines?
We can check with the attorney and our insurance person to see if there is some, like Harley said, there might not be one correct answer. There might be, for this type of thing, it might be $500,000. For this type of thing, it might be $1 million. But we can check to see what would be some appropriate language there.
And then, Dave?
Hello?
Hi there. So my question goes to insurance as well, and it has to do with additional insured. John Keeler brought this up. Additional insured ensures that if someone drops their insurance or their insurance lapses for any reason, the city is notified that their insurance is no longer in place. And I'm wondering if we can have the attorneys look into having a portion of the state that they have to have the city named as an additional insured appropriate amount.
And we had planned to put that in their document, in the basic work agreement that we're going to have them sign. That would be, and that would be some of the language in there.
Anything further?
Are we going?
There's a motion on the floor to approve it.
To amend your motion to postpone.
I need to amend my motion to approve it to delay it. Or we're going to
postpone. Motion to postpone it.
Well, motion to postpone it.
To the next meeting.
Next meeting.
Okay. January 13th.
I'll second.
Is there any further discussion? Yeah. Hold vote, please.
Assembly members McCloskey?
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 13C, approval of a commercial parking lot lease agreement between Roger Purdy and the City of Borough of Wrangell for Lot 5, Block 84, Wrangell Town Site. Thank you, Harley and John.
Thank you.
I move to approve the parking lot lease for Lot 5, Block 84, Wrangell Town Site with Roger Purdy in the amount of $4,583.04, with funds to come from the general fund budget.
Second.
Been moved and second. Any discussion?
I just have a question. Is this the little parking area down there at the end of the street that public parks in to go down to the docks and stuff?
Mm-hmm. Not at the end of the street. it's the one between Bill Privett's, well, you have Stikine Auto, then you have Bill Privett's little warehouse, and then you have that other parking lot, and then you have Delta Western. It's that parking lot.
So what do we currently use this for?
We use this for the dock that is right down there. It's called the Standard Oil Dock.
Okay.
What about, what, 15 boats down on the dock or so?
No, there's more than that, I think.
Yeah, probably.
The problem is over in the point there, there's just such limited parking. We've looked at a bunch of different options, and some of the other ones we would pay a lot of money and get like four or five parking spaces and pay out $40,000 or $50,000. There's just really nowhere to be over there is the problem.
Have we asked them about maybe buying this lot instead of continuing to pay rent on it?
No, we can do that.
See what we come up with for a price.
He's still got to have, he owns the warehouse down below, so he would still, you know, have, want access to that. So he wouldn't sell the whole area. He would need some kind of a,
right
access.
Away.
But
right away?
What's that?
A right away.
But no, we can ask the question.
Any further questions? Hold on, please.
Assembly members Rooney?
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
McCloskey?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 13D, approval to surplus city-owned vehicles.
I move to approve the items listed as surplus, that these items be advertised for bid as required under Wrangell Municipal Code 5.10.060, and authorize the borough manager to dispose of any items not bid on in a manner that is in the best interest of the city.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion? My understanding, the S10 pickup was removed from the list, right?
Yep.
No discussion? Hold vote, please.
Assembly members Decker?
Yes.
McCloskey?
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. 13E, approval of a memorandum of understanding with the state of Alaska on the Evergreen Hire and Renovation Project.
Move to approve the memorandum of understanding with the state of Alaska for the design and construction of the Evergreen Road Project with funds for the borough's share to come from the sales tax treat fund.
Second.
Been moved and second. Any discussion?
Yes. Just something real quick. Carl and the attorney spent a lot of time going back and forth with the state attorney general's office on this, and we finally got to the point that that was as far as they could go. There were certain requirements of the federal government, which is where the money comes from, that they required to be in this. We would have liked some more control and some more things, but we got, I think, as much as we could. And we went through a similar process with Front Street, so I think Bob felt that after talking to the Attorney General's office, he understood some of the reasons why they had to have certain things in there that maybe weren't real completely favorable to us. But we certainly got a bunch of things changed, and it improved our position and our ability to be more involved in the process since it's our road. So, but anyway, this is the final product.
Any other discussion? Hold vote, please.
Assembly members McCloskey?
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 13F, approval of a proposal from Shannon and Wilson to perform periodic safety inspections on the city's reservoir dams.
Make a motion to approve that the city enter into an agreement with Shannon and Wilson Incorporated to perform periodic safety inspection of the dams for Wrangell's two drinking water reservoirs, and to provide a report of that inspection satisfactory submission to the state dam safety engineer with funds for this project will come from water department reserves.
Any
Second.
Been moved and second. Any discussion?
I have a question.
Yes.
You know, this says that it's supposed to be, every 3 years? Is this going to be added as a budget item then? I mean, since we took it out of reserves.
It probably should have. It's something that I wasn't actually even aware of. It's one of the things that was in a file. And we finally got a letter from the state saying we're overdue on our dam safety inspections. And started digging through old files and found this. And it had been actually overdue, quite some time. So it probably should be something that has a teaser that, picks it up every 3 years to have it added. It says periodic safety inspection in there. We're not actually hiring them to periodically inspect it. It's one set. This one here. So.
Okay. Any further questions? Full vote, please.
Assembly members Blake?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
McCloskey?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 14, attorney's file. There is a list there for your approval. Item 15, executive session. Item 16, adjournment. We will adjourn at 9:02 p.m.